From the studios of WFN in New York and simulcast across the country via the YES Network, this is Mic'd Up, Francesa on the Fan on this Monday, the 25th day of October, as we make that transition into the football season, into the NBA season, which begins tomorrow, and into the hot stove baseball season. It'll be a busy baseball week. The World Series begins Wednesday. We'll preview that Tuesday and Wednesday. The Mets will probably be hiring a general manager, and it'll be a surprise if it's not Alderson by Friday. Still a little work to be done on that, in that situation there. And the Yankees will be doing their postmortems today. We will have Joe Girardi at 3. We'll have Brian Cashman at 3:45. And then we'll get into a little bit about analysis. We'll have Sweeney and Mark Feinstein at 5 to kind of sort through everything. What we know is Joe Girardi met the beat guys earlier today. The only information he gave was that Andy was hurting in the playoffs, which actually impacted his rotation, whether he meant 3 starters, whether he meant Andy could have pitched game 2. Bottom line is, when you get beat the way the Yankees got beat, it wasn't about strategy. It wasn't about a move he made. It wasn't about the rotation. The Yankees were destroyed in that series. They were drubbed in that series. It wouldn't matter who pitched where, they were still going to lose that series. The Rangers beat the Yankees, and Lee only pitched once in the series. So that was a domination. That was a 6-game series that felt like a sweep. That's what it felt like. And the question now is, where do the Yankees go from here? And it is an interesting year. As I talked about, if you were listening at 11 yesterday morning, and someone asked me if there would be coaching changes. I said yes, and the first one has happened. To the surprise of no one who was around the stadium last week, Dave Island's out as pitching coach. You kept hearing that last week all over the place, that it looked like the Yanks were going to go in a different direction. Other coaches don't know about yet. We'll see. I'm sure that a number of them will be back now that the jobs have been filled. I know Robbie Thompson went after the Toronto job. He didn't get it. They hired Farrell. So he'll probably be back. I'm sure a lot of them will be back. It sounded like Island was, he left this year and then he came back and he kept hearing. And it was we'll find out from Joe if it was personal, if it was that he wanted to move on, or was it an efficiency, whatever. The Yanks are going to have a new pitching coach next year with Joe Girardi. And the Yankees have definite things they have to address, and we'll start to look back a little bit with both men, and we'll look ahead with both men today. Like I said, Joe Girardi at 3 o'clock and Brian Cashman at 3:45. We'll also do some NFL today. We'll take a look at the Giants and the Cowboys tonight, a game that could launch the Giants clearly to the top of the NFC. It isn't a hard trek right now. There's nobody sitting on the perch, so it's there for the Giants to take with a win tonight in Dallas. They would do that. And like I said, we are going to do an enormous amount of Yankees today. Probably from when those guys come on, it'll be all Yankees. So we'll squeeze a little football into the beginning of the show. And let me just say this. If you watched the NFL yesterday, there are a couple things that stuck out. One was that the officials really screwed up the Steeler game. They did. 2, Belichick was very lucky what he did in San Diego, and San Diego was very cursed. And 3, that there isn't too much longer that you can see the Vikings and Childress allowing Favre to do what he does. And that is just absolutely play with a lack of respect for the football that is so apparent now that it's almost farcical. I bet you other quarterbacks watch the game and say, can I go out there 1 week? I guarantee I'll make a couple plays for the highlight reel. If I can go out there 1 week and it doesn't matter if I throw interceptions. Because that's how Favre is allowed to play. He is allowed to throw the Vikings completely out of the game. And he ruined the game yesterday. I mean, that was their game. He ruined it. And then he almost won it back, which, listen, we understand he has ability, but you could tell that Childress has had enough. You could tell on the sideline he's had enough, and you can tell with his statements after the game. And now you're going to hear the relationship between Childress and Favre. Hey, that head coach has every right to be irate about the way Favre played quarterback last night. Favre left the field last night, if you were watching, and the NBC cameras followed him like he was a conquering hero. He had just stunk up the building. I mean, they treated him like he left the field like a conquering hero. He was awful in that game. He was dreadful. He made mistakes that no quarterback should make. Did he make some good throws? Yes. But the media is so caught up on everything that is about Favre that has nothing to do with winning and losing. Nothing. He walked off that field. You would have thought if you had the sound down, you would have watched them in the post game. You would have thought Favre won the game. Not that he had stunk up the place. The games with Favre have become twisted. It is no longer about winning and losing. It is about whether or not Favre gives us this three-hour passion play. His off-the-field stuff. He's this. He's that. He goes home. You know what? They've moved on in Green Bay. They have a quarterback. They have a damn good quarterback. And they wouldn't trade their quarterback for Favre right now. And let's be honest. Favre came out of the locker room last night at halftime and completely wrecked the Vikings season. He threw some of the worst passes. You should get benched for the stuff he did in that game last night. And yeah, he almost brought him back. But he also made a couple of decisions in the last 2 minutes of that drive that were almost, they were almost first-year mistakes. He took sacks. He was back there one time, 7-8 seconds. He's still in the pocket taking, and he took a sack. He rolled to the right, which completely cuts off half his field there, and throws a ball that was 40 yards past the end zone. Who's going to catch that ball? This guy's been in the league 20. What kind of pass is that? Oh, with Favre, it's dramatic. Yes, if you are allowed to take a home run pass at every play, a couple of them are going to connect. But is he winning games? The answer is no. And his coach can't take it anymore. I don't blame him. We have become totally twisted when it comes to Favre's games. They're about a circus. They're a circus ride. Buy a ticket, take a ride. Where's it going to end? Who knows? It's going to end up. It's going to end down. It's going to end up, going to end down. He's going to throw picks. He's going to make mistakes. Going to make some great throws. Going to make some touchdowns. Where's it end? You know what? Spin the wheel. We'll see where it ends. He lost the game against the Jets. Second down. He has Harbin open for a touchdown from here to Canada. And misses him. On the next play, throws a pick six. Now all let's have the cameras follow Brett across the field. Brett shaking hands. Brett doing this. Brett doing that. Brett lost. Last night, we watched Brett hug everybody. Hug everybody. Go up the tunnel. Go here. Go there. He lost. He threw picks for touchdowns. He destroyed his team chance to win the game. Did anybody pay attention to any of that? Brett Favre now is anything but a winning quarterback. He is a circus ride. Hey, it's fun to watch as long as not your team. As long as you don't care whether they win or lose, is it fun to watch? Absolutely. But as long as you realize there are going to be two mistakes for every good play. And they're going to be deadly, deadly mistakes. In these national TV games, you have watched him throw picks for touchdowns every time. Did it against the Jets, did it last night. Every time you watch him in these games, he throws picks for touchdowns. He throws some of the most ungodly plays that I've ever seen. And then he's just completely glorified as he leaves the field. Oh, it was Brett. And then I heard somebody actually, in their analysis of the game, blame the receivers. Blame the receivers? Are you kidding me? Do you see some of the passes he threw last night? You're going to blame the receivers? He double pumped on a guy. The guy, he never faked him off the ball. He pumped him and tried to fake the defender off the receiver. The defender didn't move. He threw it anyway right to his chest. He pumped him. He didn't move. He said, the heck with it. I'll throw it at you anyway. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That was, and you wonder why Childress, I heard someone today, and I'm driving and I'm listening and I'm bouncing and I'm listening to them. You watched, the Viking locker room is going to be divided as to whether you're going to be on Childress's side or Favre's side. How does Favre have a side? First of all, he doesn't show up for training camp. He doesn't practice with these guys at all. He's got them in a mess off the field from here to the moon. He's 40 years old. He kind of picks himself off the grass on every play like he's broken in two. And then he throws a couple of picks and you lose the game. And now we're supposed to be on his side? I mean, listen, I understand, you know, and I, for some reason you got the idea and trying to give a Childress wanting them back. Now, they were a good mix last year. This year they are a mess. And, you know, who knows? That is a really talented team. That isn't like a borderline talented team. That's a very talented team. But they are going nowhere when he comes out of the locker room and throws picks for touchdowns all over the place. I mean, he threw them out of the game in the third quarter. Out of the game. And then did he make some play? Yes, he did. Did he almost win the game? Yes, he did. But did he win the game? The answer is no. They're 2-4. That's the bottom line. They are 2-4 with Harvin, who is all world, with Peterson, with Moss. So I'm not defending Childress like he's any wonderful coach, but the idea that you can blame this on him, I mean, come on. I mean, when does the right end? I'm telling you, I could sit there, if I were a quarterback, I'd like to say, hey, when do I get to play like that? When do I mean, you watch this league right now. You are watching some quarterbacks just make. You watch Favre. You watch Drew Brees. I don't know what's gotten into Drew Brees. I mean, all of a sudden, Drew Brees has become an absolute turnover machine. I mean, in some bad plays. Rivers, some of it is weird with Rivers. They make a million mistakes, but I saw plays yesterday where he throws a lateral and Jacob Hester doesn't bend down for it. You saw a play where a receiver actually got up when he was untouched. Must have thought he was playing college football because he got up and after hitting the ground, after catching the ball, he spun it on the ground and walked away from it. It's a live ball. It's a live ball. And the Pats come, oh, thank you. Right, here we go. And if you are the Chargers and your kick is hurt, sorry, I understand. But you're going to sign a guy who is the Dr. Kevorkian of kickers? Brown has ruined more teams with his leg than any three kickers in history. He is a plague. He, in kicking parlance, he is a disease. Last year, he cost the Texans a chance to go to the playoffs. He missed two game winners last year against the Titans and against the Colts. Chip shot game winners. And that was the second team he had ruined. How many teams does Brown get to ruin in a lifetime? And how can you be the Chargers and the kicker you're going to sign is, I'm telling you, the Kevorkian of kickers. He could put any team to death. And what did he do yesterday? Went out there. And after Belichick made one of the, well, he decided it was a year since he had done it once, he wanted to do it again. Why you would not punt the ball and then run that play? I understand Belichick's a genius, but can you explain to me why he would, A, go, not punt the ball there up three, and then run that play? That's the play you want to run when you're going to go on fourth down? And amazingly, he got away with it. Why? Because the Chargers not only got a penalty when they lined up for the first kick, but Brown was there to make sure. Don't worry. Belichick looked up and said, thank God, guys, they signed Brown. There it is. Boom. I'm telling you, he has, if someone could look it up, and I'm not going to do it, but if someone would look it up, I guarantee you Brown has had 7 or 8 kicks to win games or tie games that he's missed in the final seconds. I would say at least, I can think of like 5 or 6 off the top of my head. He had 2 last year. He had this one yesterday. And he had a host of them before that. The league is more bizarre than it has ever been. I mean, it really is. From officials, and you could tell me, how are you an official in the end zone and you call that that Harvin play a touchdown? He was out of bounds by 4 feet. How is that? How do you get to raise your hands there and say, I'm watching it. I see his feet. Touchdown. The guy's standing out of bounds. You look at the replay. They're like, let's see if he's got his feet in. Oh, are we kidding there? I mean, do you see how far Harvin's foot was out of bounds? You could have called that. You could have called that from Chicago. 1 foot down, the other foot is out of bounds by a foot and a half. How could you call out a touchdown? I mean, how is it possible you could be in the building and miss that one? You could have called that from the last row with eight beers in you. You're telling me you could call out a touchdown? You can't make it up. Here's Mink.